Morning. Awesome song. One of my favorites. Thank you. This morning's scripture reading is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the words spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received in a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying to them both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this chance to be here. Lord, we just ask that you open our hearts and minds as Pastor Craig delivers this message. We say these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Brad. I recently read about a 64-year-old woman who her decomposed body was found in her Houston home. And as it turns out, when it was found, it had been there for 5 months. She was discovered after they did some checking. They learned that she had froze to death 5 months earlier. And we might think about something like this and wonder, how in the world can something like this happen? Did she not have any friends? Did she not have any family? Was she all alone in the world? What took place that something like this could happen? Well, as it turned out, she actually, while her husband had passed away a couple years earlier, she actually had several kids, and she had an ongoing relationship, a decent relationship with these children. They were throughout the country, but there was one that lived only 10 miles away. Been out of contact with her for over 5 months, all of the kids had. They were so caught up in their own lives, their own loves, their own desires, that they failed to value something that really should have been very, very important to them. Really, it's nothing other than neglect. So caught up that they drifted from her, they neglected, they placed a higher value on their own pursuits, really, than they did their own mom. And as a result, froze to death. It took 5 months before a neighbor discovered her. I seriously doubt that her kids ever intended or ever even expected that such a terrible consequence could come from really almost a haphazard neglect. But it did. It did. Such a casual neglect with some very severe consequences. And this is what she gets for raising her children. Now, if you're anything like me, you're feeling really compelled right now to reach out perhaps to someone in your life that maybe you have not spoke to in quite some time. But we will drift away from and neglect really what we do not value. That may not be our intent, but it is a fact. We will drift from what, and really what it is we end up pursuing what we do value and neglect what we don't value. And that's nowhere more real than with our Lord and our relationship with him. In a similar way, if we fail to appreciate the value of our salvation, the value of who Christ is, what he has done for us, the gift that we have been given, if we fail to appreciate the bondage that we have been released from, the freedom that we now have in Christ, we will fail to mature, we will fail to grow in our relationship with God, and worse yet, we will neglect it and actually drift away from him. And therefore, the author gives us this passage today of exhortation. It's almost like he's going along teaching, and all of a sudden something catches his attention, and he has to put this danger before us to let us know. Because after these four verses, he continues on to the topic that he was talking about at the end of chapter 1. But two things we need to understand as we dig into these four verses, the first four verses of chapter 2. Number one, this is a passage of exhortation. It's a passage of exhortation to believers. This passage of exhortation is to believers. Notice that the author includes himself in this exhortation. He says, we, you and I, we must give the more earnest heed lest we, you and I, drift away. And in verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Believers are vulnerable. The author of Hebrews understands that. Note also that the word we have in this passage, the word neglect or ignore, it's not talking about rejecting salvation. It is talking about neglecting something that we already have. Neglecting or ignoring what we have been given. So this passage, I believe, is to believers. And secondly, this passage of exhortation is to avoid discipline, not hell. It's to avoid discipline, not hell. Hell is the penalty for failing to trust Christ, unbelief. Our passage here is talking about every transgression and every disobedience receiving justice, a just reward. This is God correcting his children when they drift. In fact, Hebrews 12:6, later on, the author says this, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. This is a passage of exhortation concerning discipline toward God's children, discipline toward believers. And we have to understand that because of the value of who Christ is and what he has given us, we must not neglect growing in our understanding and our relationship and our walk with the Lord. So here in our passage, believers are exhorted in three ways. Our subject this morning is don't be a drifter. Don't be a drifter from Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. And the very first exhortation we find here is greater care is required in our listening. Greater care is required in our listening. In fact, look at verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, our entire passage this morning actually hinges on that word, therefore. In the original language, the word therefore, your Bible might have the phrase, for this reason, it begins. It begins this sentence, and it forces us to ask the question, well, for what reason must we give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard? If I were to say to you, therefore, you must never give bubble gum to a monkey, you would immediately demand to know, well, for what reason must I never give bubble gum to a monkey? Some of you are related to the person I'm going to talk about here in a minute, and you've heard this story. But I'm going to give you the reason. The president of the Bible school that I attended, Nelson Miles, told a story of a time when he and his brother, they were young, they were at the mall, and on display in the mall was a cage with monkeys in it. And Nelson decided, as he's looking at these monkeys, decided to take the wad of bubblegum out of his mouth and see if the monkey wanted it. And the monkey did want it. Except as the monkey took it, it stuck to his fingers and the fur on his fingers, and he began to pull and trying to get it off of himself. And in a matter of minutes, this monkey was covered in bubblegum. Now, if you have ever had bubblegum or gum stuck in your hair, magnify that by, let's say, 1,000. And that's the mess the monkey was in. And the amount of time it took you to get that bubblegum out of your hair, magnify that by, let's say, 1,000. And that's how long it took the keepers to clean up that monkey. Of course, Nelson and his brother, as soon as they saw the stretching going on, they left. And for that reason, you must never give bubble gum to a monkey. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For what reason? For what reason must we give the more earnest heed? Why should I take more care in listening to Christ? Well, we have to back up and recount what we've already learned so far in this book. Greater care is required in listening because chapter 1 told us Christ is greater than the prophets. As we've said in the past, it's not that the prophets or what the prophets of old spoke was less true or less important than Christ. It is simply that Christ is the completion of what they spoke. They framed the outline, remember? Christ fulfilled it. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Chapter 1 also told us that Christ is greater than angels. He has a superior name, a superior nature, a superior nobility. Our passage last week told us, asking the rhetorical question, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son'?" And the implied answer is none. Christ is greater than angels because Christ is God with us. Chapter 1 also told us that He, Christ, is the Creator, righteous, eternal, and unchanging God. And if we don't give a more earnest heed to these things that we have heard, we may drift away. If we fail to value who Christ is, what He has done for us, the gift that we have been given, if we fail to appreciate the bondage that we have been released from and the freedom that we now have in Christ, we will fail to mature and grow in our understanding and relationship with God. We will neglect it, and we will drift away from Him. Verse 1 of chapter 2 gives us the first of five dangers that are listed in the book of Hebrews. It's the danger of drifting. Chapter 3 is going to tell us about the danger of doubting or disbelief. Chapter 6, the danger of degeneracy. Chapter 10, the danger of despising. And chapter 12, the danger of departing. It's almost like a digression of sorts, and I don't think it's any coincidence that the first danger to watch for is drifting, wandering away from the Lord. As a pastor, I have seen this digression in a person or two. It probably began with them just simply neglecting to read their Bible or pray. And then they began to drift away from church, little by little, neglecting to come more and more. They drift away from fellowship, neglecting to make contact with those who do come to church. I have been hidden from at Walmart. I have made contact. I saw somebody. They haven't been to church in a while. From a distance, as our eyes make contact, they see me, I see them, but they pretend like they didn't. They duck down an aisle. So I hunted them down. They will drift. And I know that right now I am preaching to those who least need to hear this. You are here. But lest we become one of those casualties, lest we drift, lest we forget or set aside the reading of our Bible daily, lest we forget or set aside prayer for something else, remember, we will drift. We will pursue what we do value and drift from what we do not value. Greater care is required in our listening. And the author here knew that we're all vulnerable. We are all vulnerable. Greater care is required in our listening. I know how quickly one can fall out of a routine of reading the Bible daily or praying daily. I have been in the position of forsaking fellowship and coming to church. Not since I've been a pastor, but I know that. I've been there. You and I both know greater care is required in our listening. The second exhortation, and really greater consequence, here's the exhortation. Greater consequences are rewarded in our life. Greater consequences are rewarded in our life. So not only are we exhorted to listen more earnestly to the Word of God so that we will not drift, but there are greater consequences right now for the believer if he does drift. Those of you who had younger siblings or have younger siblings can probably relate to this. You and the younger both get into the same trouble. The exact same trouble. Let's say you and your little sister get into a 1 pound bag of M&Ms and eat them all. Now, I'm not saying this happened, but it may have, all right? A 1 pound bag of M&Ms, and as we're putting that last handful into our mouth, Mom catches us, and she is furious because it's like an hour until dinner. And she looks at me and she says, "You are not getting dessert tonight, and you are eating all of your dinner." And to my little sister, she goes, "No, no." And I'm thinking to myself, "You got to be kidding me." She's guilty of the same thing. And then Mom looks at me and she says, "Your little sister is 2. You are 8. You should know better." You've heard that line? You should know better. Well, here it is again. New Testament believers should know better than Old Testament believers because we have a means of greater understanding. We should be the more mature. Look at verse 2 and just into the beginning of verse 3. It says, "For if the word spoken through the angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" You see, the words of the angels proved immutable. They were immutable. I think, as Brad read, his translation said, unalterable. Now, this is referring to the fact that as God spoke to men in the Old Testament, these messages would sometimes be delivered through the angels. In fact, both Acts chapter 7 and Galatians chapter 3, we learn there that the Old Testament law was actually delivered to Moses through the angels. And it was the immutable standard of justice. It described to man the very unchanging nature of God, the immutable nature of God. And therefore, what is absolutely and always right, absolutely and always wrong, what absolutely and always pleases God, what absolutely and always displeases Him. It was an immutable standard of justice, and it was an immutable server of justice. You see, the law determined the just reward of every transgression and disobedience. And reward here, by the way, is not a good thing. It's talking about justice. It means equitable. The punishment would always perfectly fit the crime. The words of the angels proved immutable, but the word of the Lord proves inescapable. Now, I do not believe, again, that God's word was less just in the Old Testament. I simply believe God's word is more complete in the New. And if the words of the angels were immutable for those believers in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord is inescapable for those believers of the New Testament. You see, the devaluing of our salvation is the focus here. Once again, this isn't talking about rejecting the salvation that God offers. It's talking about neglecting the salvation that we have through faith in Christ. It is speaking to believers, and it's telling us to do something with your salvation. We have been given an incredible gift. Do something with it. Be the more mature one. Grow in God's word. Grow spiritually. Be used of God. Don't neglect it. There's a line in the movie Saving Private Ryan. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, and I don't have an exact quote. But as Private Ryan is now older and looking back on his life and the fact that the only reason he has a life is because there were several other soldiers that gave their life for his. He's standing near the end of the movie, I believe it's near the end of the movie, standing at the graveside of one who told him this. On their way out, as they're rescuing Private Ryan, the soldier said that he should live a life that would demonstrate the value of those who died for you. See, Private Ryan was feeling guilty because these men were putting their lives on the line and losing their life for him. And he's at the graveside and he's remembering what this fellow said, that he should do something that would demonstrate the value. And he says this, every day I think about what you said to me. And I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I valued all what all of you have done for me. And while our salvation is a debt that we will never be able to repay, in fact, we are not expected to even try. We are, however, expected, called and expected to live a life that demonstrates the value of what was done for us. And therefore, we must also know that the devaluing of our salvation will be justly rewarded. God wants to correct us. Again, the reward spoken of at the end of verse 2 is not a good thing. It's receiving precisely the justice we deserve. The author gives us no further details other than to say when the believer transgresses and disobeys and neglects the incredible gift he has been given, he will not escape correction from the Lord. And while the believer has been promised, guaranteed eternal life through faith in Christ, the believer is also promised that he will be treated as a son in the family of God. It's not so much a punishment, but a discipline, a correction for our own good. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. A pastor, after preaching a series of sermons on the sins of the saints, was reprimanded by a member of the church. They told him, "After all, pastor, the sins of believers are not like the sins of the lost." To which the pastor replied, "You know, you're right. It's worse." it's worse. In this life, greater consequences are rewarded the believer. So live. Live the Word of God. The third and last exhortation we're going to look at is this. Greater confirmation was rendered for our learning. Greater confirmation was rendered for our learning. There are greater consequences for neglect because we have a greater means of understanding today. Neglect has always been discipline, but now even more so, because the Word of God has been confirmed to us in greater ways. It's like the difference between hearing about a coming tornado and seeing a coming tornado. I don't know how many of you have lived in a tornado-prone area, but hearing about a potential tornado might get us to move to a shelter, okay? And neglecting it would be dangerous. But stepping outside your house and seeing one bearing down on you, okay, should be more effective. It should be more effective. And neglecting that is ridiculous because it's greater confirmation. Neglecting God's Word has always been discipline, but now even more so, because the Word of God has been confirmed to us in greater ways. Let me read all of 3 again in verse 4. It says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will." Our passage here lists at least 3 ways greater confirmation has been rendered to you and I who have trusted in Christ. The first one is this: the truth was announced by the Lord himself. The truth was announced by the Lord himself. As Jesus began his ministry, every word that he spoke was a revelation from God. His very words are the words of God spoken directly to man. Every word he spoke announced the truth of who God is, what his purposes are, his desires and plans for man. And as Jesus ended his earthly ministry, in John 18:37, he said this: "For this cause I was born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." And he goes on to say, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." We are without excuse. We have heard the Word of God. The truth was announced by the Lord. If we have believed, we know better than anyone. The truth was affirmed by eyewitnesses. The truth was also affirmed by eyewitnesses. Not only did the Lord announce truth, but those who heard him directly repeated and recorded what he said for those of us who did not get to see him directly. That's you and I. While we were not eyewitnesses of the Lord during his earthly ministry, the truth the Lord spoke is affirmed to us through what the eyewitnesses recorded right here for us. The Bible. How do we know what they repeated and recorded was accurate and authentic? Well, the truth was announced by the Lord himself. The truth was affirmed by eyewitnesses. And the truth was authenticated by God. Verse 4. "God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." The "also" in this verse tells us that we're still talking about those who were eyewitnesses of the Lord. And we learn that by the will of God, he empowered them to repeat and then record the word so that you and I could have it, so that all could know it. How did God empower them? Well, our passage says through signs, wonders, and miracles. Before the word of God to man was complete in the form that we have it today, by the will of God, he empowered those, many of those who saw him, who heard him. He empowered them to authenticate what they were repeating and recording through signs, wonders, and miracles. They were able to do some of the things that Jesus did during his earthly ministry. There were eyewitnesses who miraculously healed people. They made the lame to walk, the blind to see. They healed various sicknesses. Some even raised the dead. And I might add, with 100% success, God's power never fails. By the will of God, he empowered some of these eyewitnesses to do these signs, wonders, and miracles. All of this so that the truth of what they said and recorded would be authenticated for you and I. We could look at it and say, this is for real. This is for real. That was the purpose of signs, wonders, and miracles. God also empowered them through gifts of the Holy Spirit. And because of the context, the gifts being spoken of here are probably those gifts specifically designated to authenticate the message. They were issued according to God's own will. Some could supernaturally speak foreign languages that they had never learned. Some could supernaturally interpret foreign languages that they had never learned. Some saw dreams and visions from God. Some prophesied, pouring forth the very word of God. And as a result, we today have the authentic and completed word of God to man. We are without excuse. And that is why there are greater consequences for neglect. We have a greater means of understanding today. The Lord spoke, the eyewitnesses testified, God authenticated, and we are without excuse in neglecting the Word of God. Since greater confirmation was rendered, learn it. Learn the Word of God. Because the value of who Christ is, because of the value of who Christ is and what he has given us, we must not neglect growing in our understanding and maturing in our walk with him. And I just want to close this morning with two observations, two applications, if you will. You see, because of, at least I believe, because of the age that we live in, perhaps even because of the country that we live in, people in general think they are self-sufficient. We live in an age, in a land of abundance. People, and for that reason, people think that they don't need God. Many think they are self-made, and therefore they think God and his word are obsolete. But they are in for a rude awakening. I pray that it's not a rude awakening, but just an awakening. I pray that that awakening is before they die rather than after. I pray that they will realize the necessity, the sufficiency, and the superiority of the Son of God, and put the full weight of their trust in him before it's too late. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." The other observation, and this is directed at me as much as anyone, Christians in general have become very neglectful. They have been influenced by the world. They too are thinking they are self-sufficient. They don't need God. They don't need to listen to his word, live for him, or learn. Writer and professor J.R. Packer said, "If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop people from reading the Bible." You see, neglect. Neglect is why so many men today are not leading spiritually. They are not the spiritual leaders in their home. They are not the spiritual leaders in the church. In fact, women vastly outnumber men in church. They are more sensitive, I believe, naturally. But neglect is also why women pursue headship in the home. Neglect is why children refuse to obey their parents and authority. You see, we are seeing the consequences of believers neglecting their salvation. Why is all of this taking place? Well, once again, we will neglect what we do not value. The one who truly values Christ and the salvation he has given will listen to the Word of God. They will read, they will study, they will pray, they will take every opportunity to sit under its teaching so that they can know God more and better and grow in their relationship with Him. They will live it. It will transform their lives, and God's Word will be reflected in their life. And they will learn it. You see, God's Word will be the defining factor in their life. They will know it and their priority above everything and anything else will be Christ. And they will not drift. You see, this whole passage, these four verses here, is designed really to exhort you and I to value salvation. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you that through faith in your Son, we are made part of your family. And we thank you not only that you loved us enough to send your Son, that we might eternally be with you through faith in him, but you love us enough right now that we might live for him. You love us enough right now that when we begin to drift, when we begin to neglect what is so valuable to you, you gave your Son. And when you see that in us, neglecting the value of that, Lord, it deserves correction. And we thank you for that. Thank you for loving us enough that you desire what is best for us. Father, I pray that we would live a life that is glorifying to you. I pray that we would not take this danger lightly. And from this day forward, Lord, that we would recognize that as we pursue the things that we think are important, the things that perhaps we desire, we are actually devaluing what your Son has done for us. And Father, I pray that you'd convict us in that area, that we would indeed give a more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Lord, that we would live that out in our life, and Lord, that we would learn it so well that as others look at us, there would be absolutely no question that person values salvation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.